Good morning. Today's daf and Shabbos is Chaf Vav. We are on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting this morning with the words Tanya, four lines from the bottom. Gemara, in the second parak of Shabbos, we are back in the mitzvah of Halakas Neiros, and we go back to the Mishnah on Chaf Dal Amud Beis. And the Mishnah gave us a list of oils that one is not allowed to use. The Mishnah talked about Ein Madlik Meshemen Sreifa B'Yamtav. One is not allowed to light with Shemen Sreifa. In yesterday's daf, we dedicated ourselves to the topic of Shemen Sreifa. What is Shemen Sreifa? Why are you not allowed to use Shemen Sreifa? It has to do with the fact that one is not allowed to burn Kachim on Yamtav. And we spent the entirety of yesterday discussing that. The next part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Ein Madlik B'Itron Mimnei Kavod HaShabbos. So one is not allowed to light with Itron. Itron, you look at Rashi back in the Mishnah, Psulta de Zifta. So Rashi says some residue of pitch. So it is something that one is not allowed to use on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yishmael. The Chachamim Matirim, I'm just reviewing the Mishnah, the Chachamim gives an allowance. B'chol Hashmanim, with all kinds of oil, Shemen Shemshemen, Shemen Egozim, Shnem and Snor, Shem Dagim, B'Shem Bekud, B'Itron of Neft. So a number of the oils, fuels that are acceptable according to the Chachamim. And then the Mishnah brought in the sheet to Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says you're only allowed to use olive oil and no other oils. With all that stated, so we are going to now go over our Gemara. Our Gemara is going to be going in some detail regarding some of these oils which were either endorsed or condemned by the Chachamim. We start at the bottom of the Amud Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Eim Alikim Bitsari. So one is not allowed to light using the oil of tzari, some sort of fuel. So my timer, so the Gemara gives a number of reasons why this should be the case. Amar Rabba mitoch shirecho no dev gzer shem istapik mimenu. So an interesting reason given by Rabba, and that is that the tzari is a fuel but also has an incredibly pleasant fragrance. What may end up happening is that because it smells so good, somebody may take a little bit of this fuel and take it out of the cup, out of the lantern. And therefore what? So an interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, Shem Yistakpik Mimenu. Rashi, it's the last Rashi in the Amud. V'tanya b'tosefta anosin shem alaner chayv mishamavir. So Rashi over here quotes a tosefta. And the tosefta teaches us that if you have a lantern and you add oil into the lantern, so that's a malacha of mavir. And v'amistapik, and removing oil from the lantern, chayv mishamachabeh. So one would be in violation of kibui, of extinguishing. Now, this Rashi over here is incredibly interesting, meaning when you're adding the fuel, so you're not igniting that fuel, but you're just simply allowing now there to be a longer-lasting fuel. Certainly sounds like from Rashi that by extending the time, that is a violation of the Malach of Mavir. And the mirror image of that is that by curtailing, by shrinking the amount of time that's going to be lit, so that's going to be also an act of kibbu as well. Now, even though that's not an immediate ramification and is going to be delayed, nevertheless, that's going to be a malacha. Now, that, of course, is interesting because under normal circumstances, by Shabbos, we would describe this as a gruma. If something does not have instantaneous results, but rather its effects is only going to be felt after some time, so generally speaking, we describe that as a gruma. And gruma and Shabbos is generally speaking patur aval aser. But we're not describing patur aval aser over here, meaning we're making a gzeira because Shem Yistapik Mimenu, which certainly sounds like it's an issur d'oraisa. So a lot to consider in terms of Rashi's description over here. Rashi's quoting to the Tosefta, and Rashi is certainly treating this like an issur d'oraisa, even though under normal circumstances, we would describe that as gruma. So much to consider in this Rashi. Amar Le Abaye, continuing in the Gemara, as we now turn to the top of Chavav Amud Aleph, I can think of another reason, says the Gemara, why this sari is not acceptable. And that is because it's extraordinarily flammable. You look at the top Rashi on the Amud Aleph. Rashi writes, V'nibak b'kosle habayis, u'malek es habayis. In other words, it happens to be that this kind of fuel spreads really easily, and it's extraordinarily flammable, and it can easily burn down the house. And as a result of that, just another simple reason why one shouldn't use it, and just simply because it's so highly flammable. So Chadava od Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, in other words, you're giving a reason, I'm giving a reason, we're both right. Chadav im neshu af. So number one, the Chachamim didn't want to use such a fuel because it's so flammable. and va'od gzeres shamistapik mimeno. And on top of that, there's also the chil Shabbos consideration. It smells so good, somebody's going to want to take some of this fuel off of the lantern. I guess rub it into their skin, whatever the case is. Use it as cologne. Nevertheless, because it smells so good, so you may take some away from the lantern and be in violation of kibui, as we already described Rashi in the bottom of the previous amud. And so therefore, for these two reasons, one is not allowed to use tzari. Here comes the story, probably the most memorable part of today's daf. So there was a mother-in-law who had a particular displeasure for her daughter-in-law. She hated her. And Amrallah, so she says to her, Zil ikshe b'mishcha da farsama. So I want you to go rub some of the afarsama oil on you. So it sounds like from the context of the Gemara, by the way, that the tzari and the afarsama oil are one and the same. Obviously, the Gemara is linking these two stories together. So Azla, so the daughter-in-law goes and ikshet, and she does, and she puts the afarsama oil on her skin. Kiasa Amrle, now the next thing the mother-in-law says to the daughter-in-law is, Zil isle shraga. I want you to go and light a fire for me. And while she is wearing the oil, which is, as we already pointed out, very flammable, and you can already guess what's going to happen next, and you don't have to guess because the Gemara is going to actually tell us what happens next. Azla asla shraga, she goes and she lights the fire, and in papa nura v'achalta, she herself catches fire, and she is burnt by fire. Now, obviously, the story has got a tragic ending, and the Gemara does not moralize for a moment, right or wrong. We can make the obvious point, wrong beyond any stretch of the imagination. But the Gemara just simply brings in the story, just speaking about how flammable this particular oil is, and also the Gemara here is also making commentary on the general relationship between a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Now, generally speaking, obviously, it'd be nice if the relationship was a better one in general. But the Gemaras, there are Gemaras in Yevamos also that speak to this idea that the relationship between mother-in-law, daughter-in-law is one that's filled with tension. And so obviously this is an extreme version of tension that exists between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Continuing the Gemara, we start with the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So umidlas aretz hishir nevuzaradan rab tabachim. So when Nebuzaradan, the general of Nebuchadnezzar, goes and destroys Yerushalayim, so he leaves some things over in Yerushalayim. He leaves actually two types of people in Yerushalayim. And the Navi describes in Yirmiyahu, he leaves the Kormim and the Yogvim. So that's the end of the Pasuk. So he leaves these two types of people over. And so the question is, who are these people that Nebuzaradan left over in Yerushalayim post-Chorban? Kormim, so Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef teaches us the following, and I say this every time. When we have a pasuk in Nach, and it needs a definition, so the Gemara turns to the Targum of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef wrote a Targum on Nevi'im. I'm assuming also Ksuvim as well. And the Gemara quotes from it all the time. And here's a perfect example. So what are the Kormim? So Elam Alakti Afar Simon. So these are the people that are collectors of the Afar Simon from En Gedi Ad Ramasa. Okay? And obviously the reason why the Gemara brought this in is because Rav Yosef's Targum on this Pasuk is that of the people that were left over by Nebuzaradan, one of them was the collectors of the Afar Simon. So it's interesting, even though it's a highly flammable fuel, but obviously it had a value, and it was so valuable that Nebuzaradan left people in order to harvest this afarsimon. Yogvim. So what is the yogvim of the pasuk? Eilet sayad echilazon misulamot shaltsur va'ad chayfa. And the yogvim, so those are the trappers of the chilazon. The chilazon, the famed aquatic creature that is responsible for the tcheles dai. So the people who trap them had a very specific skill. And so Nebuzaradan left over some people in order to trap the chilazon. And all the way from Tsur up until Haifa, right? Rashi spent some time describing why it's called Sulamos Tsur. But anyway, so people left to be able to trap the Chilazon. Tanur Rabban and the Gemara now continues, Ein Madlikin B'Tevel Tameh B'Chol, Ein Tzarech Lomer B'Shabbos. Okay, other fuels that one is not allowed to light with, so you cannot use Tevel Tameh. Now Tevel Tameh, before we get to the word Tameh, let's just deal with the word Tevel. Tevel is any produce that does not, that Trumos and Mises were not taken off. Untithed produce. that has the status of Tevel. Tevel is Aser Be'achila. Now, the truth of the matter is that Tevel is not Aser Be'hana. And this point, by the way, is made by Tosos over here. Tosos in Madlikim Be'Tevel Tameh. It's not Aser Be'hana. But still, if I have Tevel, and now the Gemara's example over here is Tevel Tameh. You see Rashi over here. Rashi writes, Kol Shekein B'Tahor. We're talking about Tevel Tameh. We're also talking about Tevel Tahor as well. It doesn't really matter if it's Tameh versus Tahor. Probably the reason why the Gemara gives the example of Tameh is because we're going to compare it in just a moment to Truma Tameh. So that's probably why we're describing it as Tevel Tameh. But anyway, the idea is as follows. Tevel is Aser Be'achila. And so what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to burn Tevel Tameh. And the Gemara now wants to know, and this is not true. I'm sorry, this is not only true on Shabbos, it's true during the week as well. Meaning that there is a general prohibition of burning Tevel Tameh. Now, Kayotze Bo, and we're going to go on in the Gemara, and we're going to explain all this in just a moment. And also, you're not allowed to light using Neft Lavan. Not during the week, and not on Shabbos as well. Now, Bishlama Neft Lavan Mimnei Shu'af. Now, the Gemara says, as far as Neft Lavan is concerned, so again, it's one of those very flammable fuels, like we described earlier this morning. And so, therefore, you're not allowed to light it, not during the week, not during Shabbos. It's a sakana. It's a danger. You're at the risk of burning down your house and injuring people. And so you can't use the Neft Lavan. That part we got. Aval Tevel Tamei Mai Taima. But why is it that one is not allowed to ignite and burn Tevel Tamei? So Amar Krav, Ani Hinei Nasat Lachas Mishmeres Trumasai. So we're going to quote a drasha that we quoted all of yesterday's daf. And that is that the Torah gives us an obligation to be Shomer Trumas. But it doesn't say Truma in the singular, it says in the plural. The Torah is telling us that the Shmir has to be done on two types of Trumas. Achas Truma Tahora and Achas Truma Temeah. Both on the Truma Tahora and on the Truma Temeah. Ma Truma Tahora in Lechabal Ela Mishas HaRama Ve'elech. Now, as far as Truma is concerned, Truma Tahora. Truma which is in a state of purity. So the only time that the Kohanim are allowed to enjoy it and benefit from it is only from Harama. Meaning that prior to the Harama, the Truma, which is only latent in the Tevel, is going to be at that point in time prohibited, only becoming Mutter after the Hafrasha, after the separation has occurred. And then it's given over to the Kohen, and then the Kohen can benefit from it. That's true as it relates to the Truma Tahara. Av Truma Temeah, in Lechaba, Ela Mishas HaRama Ve'elech. So the same thing is true regarding Truma Temeah. Truma Temeah, so in other words, let's say you have Tevel Tameh. So the Tevel Tameh, so latent within the Tevel Tameh, is going to be Truma. Now, it's understandable that the Truma, when in fact it's separated, is going to become Truma Temeah, but still, that's exactly the point. That one is not allowed to burn the Truma Temeah until it's separated from the Tevel Tameh. Prior to that point in time, as it is latent inside the Tevel, one is not allowed to benefit from it until it's separated from the Tevel. So just like by Truma Tahora, Kohanim can only benefit from it after it's separated. Same thing with Truma Temeah. Even though the amount of heter that the Kohen gets is still limited, but nevertheless, the Kohen can only get benefit from it after it's being separated from the Tevel Tameh. Gufa, the Gemara now comes back, and we are going to be discussing once again fuels, which fuels are acceptable, which are not. The Gemara is going to be quoting extensively from a series of brisos. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar, Ein Malikim B'Tzari. So Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that you're not allowed to use Tzari. So that we already saw back in our Mishnah. And the Gemara now is going to delve on into this even more. V'chein ayu Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar, Tzari Eino Ela Sraf Mi'atzei HaKetaf. In terms of what is Tzari, Tzari is Sraf, it's some sort of sap from the Atzei HaKetaf. Okay, a type of tree. Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Kol HaYotze Mina Eitz Ein Malikim Bo. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that anything that is generated from a tree, meaning a sap that comes from any particular tree. So Ein Malikim Bo, one is not allowed to light with any sap that comes from any type of tree. Perhaps it is highly flammable. Perhaps the issue is that it doesn't burn well. Not particularly clear, but he does not favor any type of sap from any type of tree. Rabbi Shmuel ben Baruch Amar, Ein Malikim Ela B'Yotzei Min HaPri. Rabbi Yishmael ben Baruch is of the opinion that the only thing you could use as a fuel is only something that comes from a fruit. So in other words, the pits the dried out pits, which we already pointed out, are could be used as something which is flammable, or perhaps he's describing the olive oil, but it can't be just limited to olive oil because that's coming up in just a moment. That's the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon. But anyway, but Rashi says over here, but not fish oil and not any of the other sap oils that we described previously. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Eima Likin Ela B'Shemen Zayis Bavad. So Rabbi Tarfon's of the opinion that the only thing you could use is olive oil. An opinion of Rabbi Tarfon that we already saw back in our Mishnah. Amr Rav Yochem and Nuri Avraglav. When Rav Yochem and Nuri hears the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yochem and Nuri stands up. And standing up over here meaning in protest. The Amar Maya Suan She Bavel. She'en Lahem Ela Shemen Shum Shemen. So he says, I don't understand. The Jews that are throughout the geographic areas that just by virtue of their geography are limited in terms of which oils they have access to. So the Jews living out in Bavel, the only thing they have is Shemen Shum Shemen, sesame seed oil. Umayya Se'anche Madai She'en Lahem Ela Shemen Agozen. And the Jews out in Madai, they only have walnut oil. Umayya Se'anche Alexandria She'en Lahem Ela Shemen Sinonos. And the Jews out in Alexandria, so they have the Shemen Sinonos. And Umayya Se'anche Kaputkia She'en Lahem Lokach V'Lokach Ela Neft. And the Jews out in Kaputkia, so they only have Neft. So ela ein lecha ela ma she'amru chachamim ein madlikin. So Rabbi Yochem and Nuri says, go back to the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah, the six oils that were banned by the chachamim, that's it. Outside of that, all other oils are acceptable. Umadlikin b'shemen dagan v'itran. And one is allowed to use fish oil. And one is allowed to use itran. So, and even though itran, as we pointed out earlier, has got its limitations, but nevertheless, Rabbi Yochem and Nuri says, look, if you have Jews living in locations where that's the only thing that's available to them, so then that's what they're going to use. They're going to use the itran. And even though it comes from a pitch, and even though, as we already pointed out, it's got a foul odor to it, but nevertheless, if that's what they have, that's what they light with. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer Malikim Shemen Pekut Uveneft. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says that you can light using the Shemen of Pekuos and that of Neft. Simchas Omer Kol Ayotim Ben Abasar Ein Malikim Bo Ela B'Shemen Dagin. Simchas is of the opinion that any oil that comes from an animal, right, the lard of the animal, the fats of the animal, so you cannot use them with exception of shemen dagim. The fish oils you can use. Now Simchus Ainu Tanakama. Now Simchus is actually saying the same thing that we already heard in the name of Rav Yochem and Nuri. And so the Gemara wants to know what's the difference between Simchus and the Tanakama. Iga Meinayu, the Gemara now points out that there is a difference between them, subtle as it may be, but there is a difference between them, the Rav Brona Marav. Once again, we go back to the position of Rav Brona Marav. This has gotten a lot of playtime over here. The position of Rav Brona Amarav talked about compound oils, where, although the Mishnah gave us a list of six oils which are forbidden for use, but nevertheless, the Gemara had a discussion in the beginning of the second perek, what if I use compound oils? A combination of oils that are prohibited together, so mixed together with oils that are permitted. And if I use a compound oil, would that be acceptable? And this was something that was discussed earlier in the Masechta, and the Gemara now is just simply saying that of these two positions, either Simchus or Rabbi Yochem and Nuri, one of them subscribes to the position of Rav Brona Marav that a compound oil would be okay, v'lo mesayme. But again, the Gemara said, and we had this already earlier as well, we're not clear of these two positions which one is in fact accepting his position that you could use a compound oil. One of them does subscribe to it, we just don't know which of these two subscribe to this position. Tanya. When the very bottom of Chavav Amid Aleph, after having concluded the first half of today's daf, the Gemara is going to move to a discussion regarding Tumah Tahara. And this discussion of Tumah Tahara will continue into tomorrow's daf. So we have a daf and a half of Tumah Tahara, and the Gemara here is going to be talking about materials that are subject to Tumas Kalim, Tumas Begadim. Obviously, a number of different materials can be used in order to make a garment. And we're going to be discussing amongst the Tanayim which of these materials are in fact going to be subject to Tumah Tahara. Tanya, we can start with the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Kol Hayotzei Min HaEitz, Ein Bo Mishum Shalosh Ashalosh, Umisachachin Bo Chutz Mipishtan. Anything that comes from a tree is not going to be subject to shalosh al shalosh. Now, shalosh al shalosh is 3x3 etzbaos. mentioned this already a number of times. It's a great, great little insight. When you want to know what the measurement is, we're talking about linear measurement over here, an area, square area. We say shalosh shalosh, we mean etzba'os. Well, how do I know that? Well, first of all, Rashi says it. But number two, the word shalosh is belashon nekeva. Remember, in the numbers, the shalosh is nekeva and shlosha is zachar, the exception to the general rule. So shalosh shalosh is 3x3 etzba'os. Etzba'os is belashon nekeva. And so that means that we're talking about a swatch of fabric that's only 3 fingers by 3 fingers, approximately 3x3 inches. Obviously, we're talking about a very small patch of 3x3 square inches. And generally speaking, we look at that as the minimum size of a patch that has any type of functionality. We're going to be seeing over the course of the remainder of today's daf that generally speaking, when it comes to somebody who has money, who has means, and who is an usher, so for him, a patch that small really has no significance to it whatsoever. But somebody who is an ani, so for him, that swatch of 3x3 inches is going to be functional, being that his resources already are extraordinarily limited. So he will make good of whatever is given to him, and as a result of that, when he has a patch of 3x3 etzbos, so that is going to have utility towards him, and so therefore it is significant. And therefore, in principle, it's going to be Mekabel Tumah. And what we're learning together right now is that according to Rav Shimon Elazar, anything that derives from a tree is not going to be subject to Shalosh HaShalosh, meaning that it's just simply not a material that's eligible to become Tameh. And then as a secondary point, Mesach Limbo. And then you could use it as Chach as well. Now these two points are interrelated, because Rashi over here reminds us of the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says that what do you use as Chach? Number one, it has to be gedule kark, it has to grow from the ground. And number two, it has to be detached from the ground. And number three, it's eino mekabel tumah. These are the three basic rules regarding schach that is used for your sukkah. And this third rule of eino mekabel tumah means that it cannot be fashioned into a kli. Anything that comes out of a tree, by definition, cannot be converted into clothing. And so therefore, even if you made some sort of swatch out of it, or some sort of fabric out of it, it cannot be mekabel tumas begadim. And as a result of that, it could be used as schach. That is exactly the point of the Gemara. And with notable exception, chutz mipishtan, with the only exception being linen. We're going to learn later in the sugya that linen, the flax that grows out of the ground, has the status of being an eitz. We're going to cite a pasuk later on that makes this point. And so therefore, linen being the notable exception. But outside of linen, the rest of anything this yotzei min ha'eitz is not going to be subject to tumas begadim. It's just simply not eligible to become a beged. And so therefore, when you have a swatch of it, of 3x3, it's eino mekabel tumah. And as an additional point, it also can be used for schach for your sukkah because it's not mekabel tumah. Amar Abaye, as we now turn to the top of Chavav Amud Beis. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, V'tan Debe Rabbi Shmuel Amar Dabar Echad. Okay, this is a common refrain of Abaye throughout Shas, meaning that what Abaye likes to do is he likes to weave together various Tanayim, linking the Tanayim based on the principal svara that these Tanayim subscribe to. And Abaye says that the Tanayim of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that we just learned, coupled with the Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, so they both are pinned and premised on the same basic principle. And that is, and you see the top Rashi over here on the Amud Beis, Rashi writes, the Mehechi Tesel Rabbi Shimon Lamute Shar Begadim Mituma, Ilav the Islay Hai Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. Meaning it happens to be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that actually there is no garments that are subject to Tumas Begadim outside of wool and linen. And that's it. And that brought him to the conclusion of Yotze Min Ha'etz, that anything which is Yotze Min Ha'etz is not going to be subject to Tumas Begadim because it's not wool. And again, he already pointed out linen being the exception. But in other words, if it's not wool and if it's not linen, it's not going to be subject to Tumas Begadim. Now, Rashi points out over here. So, if that's true, why did he say Hayotze Min Ha'etz? Meaning, he could have broadened out the category even more. But Rashi writes over here, So ilav di isle hatan de bei Rabbi Shmuel. Vehilkach yotzim mina eitz lav dafka. So Rashi writes that yotzim mina eitz was imprecise. But naka duha din la notzah shalizim. He could have talked about any material, right? The hair that comes off of a goat, right? Which generally in halacha is referred to as sackcloth. So v'chol midi delav tzemru pishtim. Anything that's not wool or linen. V'aydi denaka yotzim mina eitz linyan sukkah, naka la nami linyan tuma. It just happens to be that he was interested in making that secondary point of using it for schach. And remember, in terms of usage for schach, it has to grow out of the ground and has to be detached from the ground. So that's why he gave the example of yotzei min ha'etz. But the truth of the matter is, as Abai is about to argue, is that he's fully on board with the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, which is that the only materials that are going to be subject to tumas begadim is only going to be wool and linen, and no other materials whatsoever. Back to the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar had amarin. So we already went over the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Tan de bei Rabbi Yishmael mayhi de bei Rabbi Yishmael. Gemara now quotes the opinion of Tan de bei Rabbi Yishmael. Hoven emer begadim b'Torah stam. So you're going to find many places throughout the Torah that the Torah just uses the word baged. And you could take a look at Rashi over here, where Rashi gives a quick tour of the Torah, of the Chumash, where we find the word beged being used. Kagon, Rashi. Rashi dibra maskal hova nemer begadim b'Torah stam. Kagon. Tumas shratzim. V'tumas meis tichziv. V'tumas shratzim o beged. O or. Uve meis. V'chol beged. V'chol kli or. V'chem v'shichvat zera. V'chol beged. V'chol or. Asher yilav shichvat zera. Uve tzitzis al kanfei vigdehem. So, by a number of different types of tumah, and also by the mitzvah of tzitzis. So you see the word beged. Now, beged over there is a very broad term. It just simply means clothing. And so, therefore, we would not have known what exactly the material is that the Torah is describing. However, we have the following rule. Now, this is Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, and obviously he bases it on the principles of himself. And that, of course, is the Rabbi Yishmael. Back to the Gemara. So, Hov v'nemru begadim b'Torah v'stam, upar l'cha hakasa v'echad mehem. And the Torah specifies in one occasion. Now that one occasion, says Rashi over here, is Tumas Negayim, when the Torah introduces us to Tzaras, and specifically to Nigas Beged, the Tzaras that afflicts a garment. Samer Upishtim, and the Torah goes out of its way over there to say, wool and linen. Ma lahalan Samer Upishtim, af kol Samer Upishtim. So this creates for us now two principles of Rabbi Yishmael. Number one, the principle of Klal Uprat. The principle of Klal Uprat is that when the Torah speaks generically using the word beged, and then gives us a definition of Tzemer Upishtim, Ein Bechlal Ella Masha Beprat. So one of the rules of Rabbi Yishmael is Klal Uprat, which tells us that the beged over here is a reference to only wool and linen, because that's the example that's given. That's the principle of Klal Uprat. And then we also have a second principle, and that's Binyanav. Now that we've established that beged over here by tzaras is only going to be wool and linen, so now throughout the rest of the Torah, anytime the Torah uses the word beged, it's specific to only wool and linen. And so what comes out over here is that according to Abaye, this is the principle of Rabbi Yishmael, and this is also the principle of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar as well. And so what the Chiddush of Abaye is that Rabbi Yishmael, we see very clearly what his position is. What Abai is saying is that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he's in total agreement with Rabbi Yishmael, and that the only garments, the only materials that are subject to Tumas Begadim are only going to be wool and linen. Now Rava Amar Shlosha Shlosha Bishar Begadim Ika Beinayhu. Now Rava says, now he doesn't agree. He thinks that there is going to be some differentiation between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and that's going to be Shlosha Al Shlosha. What if I have a swatch, a fabric, a patch of garment that's much larger in size? Shlosha al shlosha. What is shlosha al shlosha? That's 3x3 tfachim. Over here now you see the conversion. It goes now from the feminine to the masculine. That's shlosha al shlosha. And so therefore the unit of measurement over here is a tefach. So that's 3x3 tfachim. That's significantly larger. That is approximately, it's about a foot by foot, approximately. So the... So over here, so if you have a garment that is that large in size, so that's going to be a difference between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Yishmael. The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar islay latan de Rabbi Yishmael leislay. Now tan de Rabbi Yishmael clearly only limits tumas begadim to only these two materials of wool and linen. And so therefore, if you have any material, doesn't irregardless of its size, it's not going to be subject to tumas begadim. Masha'en kain, what Rava believes is that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, if you have a garment made up of another material, but it's larger in size, so according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, it would be subject to tumas begadim. Okay. Dekuli Amma, we're going to come back to this machlokus between Rava and Abaye, but the Gemara starts off with something that everyone agrees to. Dekuli Amma miya sholosh ha-sholosh b'tzemro pishtim etame b'negayim minalan. Everyone's of the opinion that when you have a garment that's 3x3 etzba'os, and it's made up either of wool or of linen, it will be tameh, will be subject to tumas negayim. Now, how do I know that the Tanya, the Gemara, quotes the following braisa, beged, when the Torah introduces us to tumas negayim, so specifically by a beged, the Torah uses the word beged, ein li ela beged. And if the Torah just used the word beged, I would have thought that the only thing that would be subject to tumas negayim is only when I have an entire beged. Something that has basically its own independent usage, meaning it's a beged in of itself. Shalosh ha-shalosh minayin. How do I know that even if I have a small patch of this beged, and I say small, I mean it's only 3x3 etzba'os, 3x3 inches. So tamalomar viha beged. So the viha beged is a ribui, and it comes to include even if I have just a fraction of a beged, meaning a swatch that is 3x3 tefachim. 3x3 etzba'os. Ve'emel rabba shlosha ashlosha. So the Gemara says, okay, but why don't I say that, look, if we have the ribui, so what gives us the license to make the inclusion such a small patch? Why not simply say that the inclusion of the Torah is 3x3 tefachim, which would be a little bit more conservative? So lav kavachomer hu, so the Gemara says, no. If it's 3x3 tefachim, that I would have known based on a kavachomer. How does a kavachomer work? Hashta shesi ve'erev metame, because the Torah says that even if I don't have a beged, but I have either the shesi or the erev. Now, when weaving, so there are two parts to the weave. There's the horizontal and then there's the vertical. The horizontal, that's the erev. The vertical is the shesi. And the Torah says that if I have either the shesi or the erev, meaning it's not even woven together, I just have the either the horizontal loom, portion of the loom, or I have the vertical portion of the loom. If I have either the shesi or the erev, the Torah says that's going to be subject to tumas tzara'as, tumas negayim. So shlosh al shlosh mi baye. So if just the shesi by itself, or if just the erev by itself is subject to tumas negayim, so it goes without saying that something that is as large as shlosh al shlosh, 3x3 tfachim, which is a significant patch, which can be used by anybody, so that for sure is going to be subject to tumas negayim. So the Kal V'chomer already has now covered for us 3x3 tfachim. So the Gemara says, well, if we have the kavachomer that includes 3x3 tefachim, why not just simply use the same exact kavachomer to include 3x3 etzbaos? But the Gemara immediately rejects this notion. The Gemara says no, because when it comes to 3x3 tefachim, that has universal usage. Anybody could use 3x3 tefachim. Rich people, poor people, all could use it. But when it comes to something that's only 3x3 etzba'os, which only has usage by the aniyim and not by the ashirim, so therefore, since it does not have universal usage, and so therefore it cannot be covered by the kavachomer. And time of the kasvei kra. And that means to say, that's why I need now the special lim with the drasha of viha begin. Halo kasvei kra, lo garmina bekavachomer. Because without the extra viha beged, I wouldn't have derived it through the kavachomer, because something, a patch as small as 3x3 etzba'os, and since it does not have universal usage by both the wealthy and the poor, therefore would not have been included through the kavachomer, and can only be included through the extra drasha. The Ema, the Gemara, still pushes back just a little bit, and let us suggest l'rabba shlosha al shlosha bishar begadim. Why not simply say that it covers 3x3 by other begadim, meaning, why can't we make the argument that the drasha is there to include a patch that is 3x3 tefachim, and for other begadim? So Amakra, the Gemara says, no, for that we can't say that, because the Pasuk says, beget semer upishtim. Beget semer upishtim in minech rinilo. The Torah goes out of its way to say that the only materials that are going to be subject to tumas negayim is only wool and linen. wool and linen to the exclusion of all other materials. The ema ki ema mishal shalosh. So the Gemara says, okay, but here's what we could have argued. In terms of excluding all other materials, that's when the patch is really small. That's when the patch is 3x3 etzbos, which has limited usage. Aval shlosha, shlosha, mitameh. But if it's 3x3 tfachim, which is a really large patch and can be used by anybody, both the aniyim and the ashirim, and if it's made up of another material, maybe that should also be included as well. Maybe the ribui of a habeged is coming to include a garment, a material that's made up of another material when it's such a large patch. The Gemara's response, tre miutik sive, it says tu miutim, beged semer o beged pishtim. So in other words, the Torah repeats the words beged semer o beged pishtim on two occasions. And so therefore, that is miut followed then by another miut. Chad lamutim mishalosh ha-shalosh v'chad lamutim mishlosh ha-shalosh. And so that means to say that the first miut is coming to tell me that when it is such a small patch of 3x3, it is only wool and linen that are going to be subject to tumah, and no other materials. And even as I move on to the larger patch of 3x3 tefachim, still the second miut is coming to tell me that even though the patch now is significantly bigger, nevertheless, only wool and linen are going to be subject to tumas negayim, and no other material is going to be subject to tumas negayim. The double miut comes to include gimel by gimel spouse, and the second miut is coming to exclude gimel by gimel tefachim. And all this is just a clarification of the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. We see clearly, according to Rabbi Yishmael, that the only materials that are subject to tumas beged are only going to be wool and linen to the exclusion of all other materials. Within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, right now we have a debate between Abai and Rava. Abai is of the opinion that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is in perfect agreement with Rabbi Yishmael. Just like Rabbi Yishmael says that the only materials that are subject to Tumas Begadim are only going to be wool and linen, so Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar agrees as well, even though it doesn't read super clearly within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, but Abai says, but that's what he means. Whereas opposed to the opinion of Rava, Rav is of the opinion that other materials are subject to Tumas Begadim once they have achieved a certain height of 3x3 tefachim. It's true that according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's only wool and linen, but according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he is ready to open up Tumas Begadim to other materials as well. This position of Rav, we're going to clarify and we're going to explore in more detail in tomorrow's daf. Let's just quickly recap and review today's daf. In today's daf, we gave a number of reasons. We started off this morning with a number of reasons why one should not be using the fuel known as tsari. The Mishnah already back on Chav Dal Amud Beis prohibits the use of itran. Itran is pesula de zifta. And the Gemara opened up today with the discussion of using tsari, starting with the opinion of Rishim and Elazar. So you're not allowed to use tsari, number one, because it has a very pleasant smell to it. And you may take some away from the bowl. And we discussed this morning the idea that when I take oil away from the bowl, that is the malach of kivui. And even though we normally would describe that as grama, but nevertheless, it falls under the category of kivui, and it is an issa d'oraisa to do so. And we try to explain, with some degree of success, try to explain how that's the malach of kivui. But the Gemara says it is. The Gemara says also it is flammable as well. A memorable story of the morning regarding mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Enough said about that. Continuing in the Gemara, we went through also Nebuzaradan after laying siege and destroying Yerushalayim. He left over Kormim and Yogvim. And the reason why we quoted this pasuk in Yirmiyahu was because the Kormim are the people who were the Malakdei Afarsimon. So they were the ones who collected this kind of a farsimon, which was, again, the fragrance and also the very flammable fuel, which apparently, even though it was very flammable, obviously had a serious value to it. The Gemara talked about using tevel tamei to burn. The Gemara says one is not allowed to burn using tevel tamei, not during the week, not on Friday night. It cannot be used until it was mufrash from the... Until you're mafrish the truma tamea from the tevel tamei. The Gemara had a drasha in order to make that point. The Gemara and the Amud Aleph went through a number of opinions of many Tanayim who discussed which fuels would be acceptable, which fuels would not be acceptable. Of the many opinions, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says you have to allow people who have certain fuels which are indigenous to their location to be able to use the fuels that are available to them. And the Gemara went through a plethora of positions regarding the various Tanaim and which fuels they are allowed to use. And the remainder of today's daf was a discussion that was started by a Brice of Rishim Amin Elazar that says that anything that comes from the tree is not subject to Tumas Begadim and can be used for Schach because it's not Mekabel Tumah, with notable exception of Pishtan. Pishtan is called an eight. We didn't see that yet this morning in terms of how we know that. Coming up in tomorrow's daf, in terms of how we know that Pishtan is referred to as eights. But Pishtan is called eights, and the Pishtan is subject to Tumas Begadim and cannot be used as schach for your sukkah because it is susceptible to Tumah. But anything else that comes from eights can be used for schach and is not going to be subject to Tumas Begadim. And the Gemara spent the rest of the day going through the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that only wool and linen are subject to Tumas Negaim, Tumas Begadim. No other material subject to Tumas Begadim. And then a Machlokas Amarayim between Rava and Abaye, whether or not Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar agrees with Rabbi Shmuel. Abaye is of the opinion that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar agrees with Rabbi Shmuel. Rava says that there is disagreement between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And we will start tomorrow morning with the opinion of Rava.